Hello everyone, and welcome to another beautiful day in the midst of all the showers that are going on at the moment. Well, thanks for joining with us today. All of us can remember huge events in regional locations or even worldwide that change things, and they change things dramatically. For the Americans, it's the 9/11. And one country singer entitled that one, "The Day the World Stood Still." And for Americans, that was very much the truth. For some, it was the Challenger disaster where the space shuttle blew up. And I remember that day. It was a very, very sad day as the world watched. For other people, it was the earthquakes and the tsunamis that hit Indonesia and Japan and the explosion of the atomic reactor. We all watched in awe and horror as these things took place, and thousands of lives were lost. And it's truly an event that shook the world. Well, on a lighter note, in the sporting world, I think one of the biggest events in Australian history, as from what I've heard, was when Australia beat the United States in the America's Cup. And I've heard that one celebrated over and over and over. It was a huge event, and good on Australia for doing it. But today we're going to talk about another event that took place. It's an event that has the biggest influence on world history of anything that I can think of. It's an event that took place in one area, and then it began spreading around the world. And it's still spreading today. And no, it's not the coronavirus. So go with me over to Acts chapter 2. And let's read, and we're going to read a few scriptures. Let's read about the start of this amazing event. But first, let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for the day you've given us. Thank you for a break in the weather so we could record. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for who you are. And thank you for what we're just getting ready to read about, that we experience every day of our lives as a Christian. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Let's begin reading in Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude came together, and they were bewildered, because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, "Are not all of these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in his own native language? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians, we hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God, and all were amazed and perplexed, saying one to another, 'What does this mean?' But others mocked, saying, 'They are filled with new wine.'" Well, despite my stumble, what we have looked at is an amazing event. So what's going on? Well, Peter preaches a sermon laced with Jewish history and the gospel message, and 3,000 people get saved. Get that, 3,000 people come to Christ because of one message. What in the world is going on? Well, let me set the picture. Jesus tells his followers to go to Jerusalem and wait for the Holy Spirit. And they did. They did exactly what he said. They went, they waited, and they said. Now, honestly, they didn't know what they were waiting on. They didn't know what to expect. They didn't know what to look for or anything that was going to happen. They just knew something amazing was about to happen. Well, there was 120 people in the upper room, and they sit quietly, waiting, speaking softly, and praying. My guess, these people were not prone to emotional outbursts. This was just a quiet Jewish worship time. Many of you would be comfortable in this meeting. But then something happened. The sound of a huge wind blows through the house. And the Bible says that it was so loud that the people outside heard what was going on, and they came running together to see what in the world was happening. And then something amazing shows up. What appeared to be flames settled on the heads of every one of the 120 people that were there, men and women both. And they all began speaking in languages that they had never learned before. And it was so rowdy. Now get this quiet Jewish meeting got so rowdy that people run from all over the place, and some of them thought they were drunk. Some of them were acting like drunks. Notice, this nice, quiet, solemn Jewish assembly got loud. And from what we can read, they were all speaking at the same time. I guess a lot of you probably wouldn't be all that comfortable in that upper room meeting. So what was going on? As we said, some people thought that they were drunk, or everybody thought that pandemonium had broken loose. So Peter jumped in and he had to explain. Verses 14 through 18. But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ears to my words. For these people are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel." These people should have known. Verse 17, Joel says this, "And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and my female servants in those days will I pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy." So there you go. The Holy Spirit has arrived, and in the world is about to change, especially the lives that the Holy Spirit has now entered. From what we read in the text, not one person remained the same after the Holy Spirit fell. So they were there waiting for the promise of Jesus, and it took place. What was that promise? Jesus had told them, "You will receive power, and you will be my witnesses." That power changes everything forever. Then some amazing things begin to happen. Well, what happened? The first thing is Peter preaches, and 3,000 people get saved. That's 3,000 people and then it spreads from there around the known world. This is a life-changing, world-changing event. What happened? The Holy Spirit showed up. Then Peter and John go to the temple, and they run across a man who's lame, and he was asking them for some money. Peter speaks to the man, grabs his hand, pulls him up, says, "In the name of Jesus, stand up." And the lame man, who had been lame since his birth, stands up and begins jumping up and down and shouting as he goes with Peter and John into the temple. What happened? The Holy Spirit. Peter and John start preaching, and they make the religious people angry, and they put them in jail. But God goes with them and leads them right through the jail and doesn't open the door, right out, and they began preaching again. Well, but the people had noticed that Peter and John were uneducated people. The only difference was they had been with Jesus. And these uneducated men that had been with Jesus, what turned them into powerful dynamos? The Holy Spirit shows up. Peter and John get threatened for preaching again the name of Jesus. And this one resulted in them getting flogged. Now, we won't get into that, but that wouldn't have been any fun at all. But they get out after the flogging, and after leaving them, the two of them went back to their fellowship group, and they began to pray about what happened and listen to what they pray. "And now, O Lord, hear their threats and give us your servants great boldness in preaching your word." They weren't all praying for peace and safety. They were praying for great boldness to preach your word. We need to change our praying and pray for God's power. But you see, when they prayed that prayer, the Bible says the place where they were was shaken. Can you imagine that? The place was literally shaken. What happened? I really don't believe that anybody would have been bored in that prayer meeting. So the Holy Spirit has fallen and fulfilled the promise of Jesus. And one more time, what was that promise? Jesus has said, "And you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Folks, the power has showed up. Well, that's what happened then. And when the Holy Spirit fell on the 120 and spread out from there around the world changed, at least for those who followed Jesus. For them, everything changed completely. Let's bring it into our day. How about those of us who say the Holy Spirit is living in us? Is that change still there? Is the power of the Holy Spirit still there? Is he active? Is he alive? If not, then something desperately needs to change. You see, for me, I'm tired of doing ministry, following the routine, just doing what we do. You see, I want to live a Holy Ghost-empowered life that will reach into the darkest corners of society or into the glitter and tinsel of the rich and famous. I want to live the kind of life where the Holy Spirit can move and work through me according to His design, not my design, not my preferences, but His. How about you? There's a little song that we used to sing in the Pentecostal church. It went like this. Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place. Holy Spirit, Thou art welcome in this place. Let me ask you a question. Is the Holy Spirit welcome in your place? Is the Holy Spirit welcome in your life? Is the Holy Spirit welcome in our church? Is he free to do what he chooses without hindrance and without limitation? If not, something needs to happen. Something needs to change. I think we need to get on our knees and say, Lord, whatever you want to do, do it. And I want to go with you. Let's do that, folks. In the name of Jesus, we pray these things and ask for your movement in our lives and in our church. Turn the power of the Holy Spirit loose for him to have the freedom to move and to do whatever he chooses. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.